Wondrous Cross, interesting, just before we get into the message today. Isaac Watts wrote that hymn. A lot of hymns Isaac Watts wrote, a lot of the hymns that we see are hymnal. But you may not know about Mr. Isaac Watts is that he was a radical in his day. Most of the churches wouldn't play his music. He was like, this is too radical for us. And it's interesting to me sometimes how we view certain things based upon, you know, time and place and culture and norms and things and flows like that. And some of the most beautiful songs that we now sing that are in a hymnal, you know, years ago, many said, no, we'll never have this in our church. Yet when God allows something that is going to bless his people, it does stand the test of time. And I just always find that interesting how our perspective looks differently upon different things. And this morning, I want to talk about a situation from Mark chapter 12. We talked last week about erring because we did not know, you know, God's word or the power of God. You know, knowing the scriptures or the power of God. And this morning, I want to talk about a heart. Our hearts, and really get to the heart of the matter. When Jesus spoke well, and they realized he spoke well in giving these answers to the trap questions that they had. Remember, this is the final week of Jesus' earthly ministry before he goes to the cross. When they saw that he spoke well, they sent some others to him, and one scribe now comes to Jesus to ask him a question. And it says here that he heard that Jesus had answered the people well, and he says to Jesus, well, what is the first commandment of all? So we're in Mark chapter 12, verse 28. Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like it, or is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. We've been teaching through the Ten Commandments on Thursday night Bible study, and just so wonderful to go through those and remember why God had codified the commandments in that way, to recognize that those things that he codified were always there because God had put, you know, his law from the beginning of creation, and recognizing that Jesus said, yeah, sometimes we can't even figure out the whole 10, but if you do these two, you're going to keep all the 10 plus all the other things that God wants you to do. They're first and foremost. And when they heard this, or when the scribe heard this, he said, you spoke well, Master. You spoke well. You said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all thy heart, and with all thy understanding, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and to love his neighbor as thyself, his himself, is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Now Jesus hears a man speak this. And Jesus, in verse 34, says, and when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And then they didn't want to ask Jesus any more questions because they couldn't win. He was getting too close to the hearts. He was challenging the way they perceived God and their religious exercises and the religious mafia that they had there at that time to control things the way they wanted to do it. Why was he not far from the kingdom of God? You know, it's one of those scriptures, those verses that resonates with me because there are so many that are not far from the kingdom of God. But being not far from the kingdom of God and being in the kingdom of God are two so separate different things that if you're not far from it but yet not there and you're not in it, you're lost for all eternity. Jesus saw this man's heart as he can, knew his understanding, realized that he agreed with what Jesus said, but also then says did it discreetly in such a way, hey, Jesus, you know that this is good. This is right. Jesus goes on in the rest of that chapter, which I do hope that you would read later, because this morning we're going to save plenty of time for the Lord's Supper, so I'm going to keep my comments fairly brief. He tells them to beware of the scribes. They pretend like they're all that, and they're your teachers, and they come across, but he says, watch what they do. Don't just listen to the words they speak. Watch them. Keep an eye on them. And he goes into all the things that they do that they shouldn't be doing. And then it says that he's across from the treasury where people were coming to bring their offerings to the temple. And they're all giving. An old widow woman comes up, putting in two mites, which maybe we would consider a penny, you know. Jesus, looking at that whole situation, says that that woman gave more than everybody else. Not just more than anyone individually. She gave more than all of them. Why? Because they gave out of their abundance. She gave out of her poverty. And she was giving with all of her heart. All of her heart. The principle here that Jesus was showing them is, we all know God doesn't need our money. It's a privilege to participate with God in giving of our substance, whatever he has given us. It's a privilege to do that. But it's also to recognize that God wants our hearts. He doesn't need our money. He doesn't need our things. He wants our hearts. He always has. Man was created, what? To fellowship with God. He created us in his image and his likeness to fellowship with him. What? For a weekend? No, eternity. Eternity. He wants our hearts. So you're not far from the kingdom of God. You're not far. Jesus knew that this man was not for the kingdom of God because his heart, that man's heart, reflected God's heart. You say, well, God doesn't have a heart. Well, yeah, the scripture says God has a heart, not in the same way we do. And you understand, we're not talking about the beat, boom, the thing in our chest. We're talking about the essence of who and what makes us up. The soulish realm of us, if you will. The character of us. Who we really are. This man's heart was reflecting of God's heart. It resonated with this man, and Jesus said, you're close. You're close. He knew that the condition of the heart mattered more than anything else that we would do. Sacrifices, working for the kingdom, giving money, whatever it might be. A heart that does not have a heart that is in line with God's heart, a heart that does not have a human heart that does not have a heart that lines up with God's heart and loves God with all its heart, doesn't matter what else we do. We're far then from the kingdom of God. This man, like everybody else, needed not only to know that his heart was maybe on the right track, but he needed to know that if his heart was on the right track, it wasn't enough, that he himself needed to do what everybody else of all mankind needs to do, and that is to follow Jesus in the way that we know that we need to give our lives over to him. We have to, by faith, receive the work that he did on the cross. The one who gave all himself, gave everything in love for us, is the one that we have to turn our life over to completely. So it's entirely possible, and we hope so for his sake, that this scribe ultimately believed in the Lord Jesus Christ after his death. Maybe he did. We know that many did believe. Many of the religious, many of the priests, many of the others, the Bible tells us, did believe after his death, after his resurrection. Maybe this man was one of them. We don't know. Maybe we'll meet him in heaven one day. But there's many people today that you and I would say they're good people. They even agree with a lot of the stuff. When I talk about the Bible, they agree with it. And their heart lines up with God's heart, but yet they're not yet in the kingdom of God. They're close. They're close. The Bible mentions the heart, I think, over 1,000 times. Over 1,000 times. It's this spiritual, soulless part of us. It's the emotions, our desires. The Bible talks about people like David. Though David was a man who did sin mightily during his life, was a man that the Bible says was had a heart after God's own heart. A man who had a heart after God's own heart. That when David did sin and when David walked contrary, when David got to that point of coming to his senses, and you read in the Bible, and if you study David's life, when David repented of his sin, you never see a scripture that he goes back to that sin. When he knew he grieved God, he cried out to God and asked for forgiveness with his heart. Not just, I'm sorry, God, I try not to mess up again. No, it broke him. He knew that he had broken and hurt the heart of God. And with his own heart, he knew, how can I do this against a God who loves me so much? And he repented, turned away from it mightily, and turned to God for forgiveness. See, our hearts are interesting. The Bible says they are deceitfully wicked. Deceptively or deceptive. Hearts that we don't know the depths of what our hearts are capable of. Speaking to someone this morning before church, not about this subject, but it lined up with our subject, talking about time that they had gone through, which many of us have gone through, where God challenged us with issues within our heart, even after we were Christians. Anybody ever had that? After we were saved, God had to deal with matters of our heart. He had to get to the heart of the matter. The only way for our hearts to fully change is for our hearts to not only just line up with God's heart, but to surrender our hearts over to him and say, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Do the work in me that only you can do. Because within my heart, I don't know the depths of my own heart, what is capable of. But Lord, I need you to be the ruler, the king over my heart, the king over my life. Our hearts need to be circumcised. Scripture says they need to be circumcised. Cut away all the stuff that needs to be cut away. Paul in Romans chapter 2, it's one of the more difficult scriptures to really understand. You have to chew on it for a while. But he says in verse 29 that a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart. Not externally with circumcision. That doesn't make you a real Jew. What does is your heart being circumcised by the Spirit, not by the letter of the law. So if the heart is sinful, and you can go through all the external circumcisions you want, whatever they might be, they won't do you any good unless the heart is circumcised. Deuteronomy 30 says this, what Jesus said, we heard earlier, and the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul that you may live. I want us this morning as we prepare ourselves to come down in a few moments to sit at the table. Are our hearts prepared to sit at that table? One, you need to be a Christian. You must be born again to sit at his table. And in that way, you knowing your sins are forgiven. But are you also at that position now or that place now in your life that you say, Lord, I want to sit at your table because, Lord, I love you with all of my heart. Lord, I know I've made mistakes. I know I've sinned. But Father, forgive me of my sin. I'm not ashamed to take this time to come before you and say, Father, forgive me. Wash my sin away. Help me to be that man, the woman that you want me to be. Help me to be the child that reflects you into this world, that shows your heart to this world. Lord, my heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? But Lord, you know it, yet you love me. And at the same time, Lord, I'm asking like David, create in me. Say it with me. Create in me a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right, steadfast spirit within me. I'm tired of this up and down. I'm tired of this in and out. I'm tired of this. You know, we know we're saved by grace. It's not by works. And we know that a sin does not remove us out of the kingdom of heaven. But we realize something. We don't like when that fellowship time breaks. when we're constantly, you know, I'm doing good today. Well, today's not such a good day. Lord, I want to be steadfast. I want my heart to always reflect your heart. I want my heart to always line up with your heart. I always want to possess a heart of love for you first. And then have that heart that loves you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. That same heart, love others in a way that I am not capable of. But you can allow me to love, to show others your heart working in me. I actually heard this morning, and I think it's pretty good and worth repeating. It bears worth repeating. That when we get into God's Word in a message like this, all of God's Word doesn't always, if you will, fix our problems, but it will always correct or change our perspective. Lord, let me see myself from your word. Let it be that mirror that James talks about, that mirror into my soul, into my heart, that mirror that I need to see myself. And does this speak to me this morning? And will I, as I'm taking a moment in time to come and sit at your table, will, Lord, you search my heart and know me. And see any wicked way within me. And Lord, reveal it to me that I may turn from it and turn to you with all my heart. To have a heart after yours. To have a heart after yours. Create in us, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. A clean heart. And renew the right spirit within me. They didn't ask him any more questions because his answers got too close to the heart. And they were unwilling to change their hearts. They are unwilling to say, Jesus, you're right, we're wrong. They're unwilling to say with all of their external holiness that inside them they were corrupt and had dead man's bones. And their hearts were really, though their lips drew close to him, their hearts were so far from him, so they stopped asking questions. I don't want us to stop asking questions. I don't want us to stop reading scripture. I don't want us to be like those Israelites on the mount when he gave them the Ten Commandments. That they said to Moses, don't have him speak to us anymore. You tell us what he says. No, Lord, we want to draw close to you. We want to hear you today. We want your word to change our hearts, to change our perspectives, to change our minds, to correct us where we need to be corrected, and that we then can come before you as your children, saved by your grace, washed in your love. And then we can say, Lord, my heart is willing to reflect your heart in my home, where I work, where I go to school, where I shop, where I go to church. Let my heart be your heart. Let your heart beat within me that I may glorify you and I may love others as they need to be, as you've commanded me to love them. Father, as we take a moment to sit at your table, I pray that as we settle our hearts before you, that your word we heard this morning would resonate within us, within our hearts, and that we would desire to have a heart after your heart. We would desire that you would. Today, we're not ashamed to say it, Lord, our hearts are deceitfully wicked. Our hearts are more than we could understand the depths of the things that they're capable of doing. Lord, create in us this morning a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within us. Help us to repent and to turn away from sin and things that we have walked contrary to your heart. And not only where we've sinned against you, but Lord, as David realized, even when he sinned against people, it was a sin against you. But Father, help us to make sure that we go to others and ask for that forgiveness so that we can love them well. And in loving them well, we will glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.